him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. So every day my heart will praise him. So glad I feel his love for me. All I want to do is love him. Love his holy name. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise him. So glad I feel his love for me. Love his holy name.
Raise that key, sir. Raise it. Amen. We'll get the key right here just in a second. But is that your testimony this morning? All you want to do is just love him. How many of you knows he loved you so much? He loves you more than you could ever imagine. And he still loves us more than we'll ever imagine. Aren't you glad you love him this morning? Aren't you glad he has loved you? Let's stand to our feet. Let's sing this again this morning with all your heart. All I want to do is love him. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise him. I know I'll never be the same. All I want to do is love him. Love his holy name. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise him. Amen. How many of you enjoyed the service here last night? How many of you has the book of Daniel took a whole new meaning to you this morning? I told Brother Donnie, I said, when I was reading the Bible, when I'd get to the book of Daniel, I just fast forward it. Because it's always a book of symbols, a book that I couldn't understand. I'll just be honest with you. But aren't you glad our understanding is being helped? Aren't you glad your understanding is opening up to you? Do you appreciate the word of the Lord more than everything else in this world? Isn't it wonderful to understand the word of God? Hallelujah. Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise if you love him. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, I like to read Daniel about being delivered out of the lion's den and all that kind of stuff. But when it got to them symbols, Man, I was lost, Brother Terry. I'll just be honest with you. But thank God for understanding of the word of the Lord. Amen. You just never get too old to learn, do you? Praise God for that. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Good to see all of you. Daylight savings time is agreed with most of you. You look good. So praise the Lord. Turn around, shake somebody's hand. And I'm not going to tell you to tell them they're looking good because I got in trouble the last time that happened. Just tell them you're glad to see them in the house of the Lord this morning. You guys look all right this morning. Amen. Yes, all I want to do is love him. So glad I feel his love for me. Jesus paid the price of redemption on the cross of Calvary. Every day my heart will praise Him. We just sing to Him. God bless you, baby, baby. Bless you, buddy. Looking great. Looking great, Jim.
Well, now all I want to do is love Him more. So glad I Jesus paid the price of redemption.
Say praise the Lord. Amen. Let's look at our prayer request this morning. Brother Amos, if you get ready to lead us to the Lord this morning. Brother Howard Collins sends us in to please continue to remember Sister Yvetta and Sister Michaela in prayer. They're improving, but they still seek our prayers. So let's pray that the Lord would touch their bodies this morning. If you would, pray for the Bob Greer family. That's Glenda's sister's husband. He passed away last night. And so they're just asking that we would remember that family in prayer as they go through this loss of their loved one. Brother Baker sends this in for Sarah, who has flu-like symptoms. So let's pray for her this morning. We'll remember Brother Mark Spencer in the hospital in a real need of prayer. So we want to commit that unto the Lord this morning. Brother Jerry Phillips sends this in to please remember Jewel Marshall in prayer. She has liver cancer. So they're asking that we would pray that for that need today. The Greg Parker family says, thank you so much for the prayers for our nephew's newborn baby. All the tests came back negative. All is well. Praise the Lord. So thank God for that this morning. Hallelujah. Amen. Also, Brother Mike Pierce, we turned in a prayer request for him last night. We had taken a fall and hit his head, but the headaches are gone. And Brother Mike is here in the service with us this morning. So praise the Lord for that. Amen. Praise the Lord. So we just got so much to thank the Lord for this morning. If you have an unspoken prayer request, something you'd like for this assembly to pray about, we know there's many needs among us, but we're serving a God, folks, that is so greater than we'll ever imagine. He is so much greater than we can ever even comprehend in our mind. And we'll never know the half of it till we get over on the other side to see the greatness of our God. Look at somebody and say, our God is a great God. He certainly is. Give him one more big hand clap of praise. Brother Amos, God bless you this morning. Love you, buddy. God bless you.
Shall we bow our heads in prayer? Gracious Lord Jesus, this morning, Lord, I could not stop but to thank you, Father God. Lord, for everything that we are, everything that we have, everything that we receive, Father God, it's from you. Lord, even in the natural, some of us have been blessed, dear God. Lord, it's not because so much of ourselves, but dear God, it's because of you. And I thank you this morning, Lord Jesus, God, that I have strength in my body and I have wellness in my body. And Lord, my greatest desire is to give that wellness and that strength to you and to your body, Lord, so that they may be encouraged, so that the weak may be made strong. Lord, help us, Lord, to use that which we've been given, Lord, for your honor and glory. And Lord Jesus, you've quickened us, Lord. You've lifted us and elevated us to spiritual places in you, dear God. And Lord, we see our lives becoming more and more of the vision. The vision is becoming flesh. The written word is becoming manifested word in flesh. And we're thankful for that this morning, that now are we the sons of God. And Lord, as we bring these requests before you, Lord, we are your children. We, Lord God, and we believe, Lord, and as we present these requests to you, Lord, Lord, there's earnest desire, Lord, of each and every believer that wrote these requests, Lord. Some have lost loved one, Lord. Someone that's passed away. Someone that has cancer in their body, Lord. Someone that has dire circumstances, Lord. We present these petitions to you, high, high priest of our confession, Lord. We bring them before you, Lord Jesus, as a body of believers, Lord. Dear God, we bring them, Lord, to you. Lord, we're thankful that you're available 24/7. Lord God, you're at your post of duty. Lord, how many times we have to ask you for forgiveness, Lord. We've not been at our post of duty like we should. But we're thankful, Lord, you're available to us this morning. You were available to us last night. Lord, when the pain in some of our bodies may have exceeded its limits, and we cried out to you, Lord, and you were there in the middle of the night, dear God. Lord, in the evenings, Lord, when the shadows fall, dear God, you're there. And Lord, we ask it for every prayer request, for every upraised hand this morning, Lord, that you'll be there. We know that you're there. We've got confidence in you, Lord. And you, we know that you have confidence in your word, and we believe we are your word this morning. And we're believing for the results, Lord. God, many of the requests that was mentioned last night, Lord, from time to time, we wave them before you, Lord, dear God. We bring them before you, Lord Jesus. And we thank you in advance, because we believe as we are praying this morning, the grain of sand is already moving. Lord, as we prayed last night, and at the prayers that's already been prayed, the sands have moved. Lord, there's not just a grain there now, but there's a pile there, dear God. There's a hill there. There's a mountain being formed, because that mountain is moving and it's being transplanted to another place. We thank you, dear God. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. May the powers of darkness be defeated this morning that would come against the ministry of the word. We ask it in Jesus Christ's name. For your honor and your glory, we give you praise.
Thank you, Brother Amos. God bless you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. You know, Brother Donnie told us last night to be part of a kingdom, to be part of an empire, Brother Terry. You look around at your neighbor this morning, or your husbands to your wives, vice versa, young person to young person. We don't look like much. To be part of an empire, to be part of a kingdom, we don't look like royalty, as the world would look at royalty. There's been movies advertised through the year. I've never seen one of them, but I've just noticed hearing them talked about, seeing them advertised. The Empire Strikes Back. I don't even know what that's all about. Some futuristic something or other. I guess the Empire Strikes Back. But as Brother Donnie read last night in the scriptures, in the end, the saints are going to get it all. The empire's going to strike back. And little people like you and me. Aren't you glad about it this morning? Give the Lord a big hand clap of praise. Love you with all your heart. Hallelujah. That's why we can sing this song this morning. Even though we don't look like an army, we don't look like too much in the eyes of the world. But we can sing with reality and with the truth in our heart that all is well. Everything's okay, because he's got it all in control. You believe it with all your heart this morning? Yes, all is well. Yes, all. You be seated this morning. Sister Lisa is going to give us a song this morning. Sister Lisa Cutts, if you'd get ready to sing for us this morning. Want to welcome all of you to the service today. Those that are streaming, I pray God would richly bless those folks as well. And just to mention this, we certainly want to continue to remember Sister Natalie Yance in prayer. Well, she's just a fighter, Brother Terry. She's just a real soldier, and we don't want to forget about her. She's still in Chicago, going to be there for maybe 4 or 5 more weeks, and we certainly want to hold our sister to the Lord and ask God to just comfort her and be with her. And her mother might be there with her at this time. And Brother Keith and their son, they're here doing the best they can do and keeping things together. So that family. Brother Keith, I just want to publicly say this morning that, buddy, I love you. Amen. I believe this assembly loves you, and we're praying for you. We are. We're praying for you, buddy. Love you. Amen. Amen. Sister Lisa always blesses us with a good song, so I believe she's going to do it again this morning. Let's enjoy her as she sings. Last night I made an announcement. Brother Donnie has recorded a new CD. It'll be available probably in another 3, 4, 5 weeks, something like that. But we played a song off of it last night. We're going to let you hear another song of it off of it this morning. One Night with the King, I believe is the song. How many of you enjoyed that song that he sung at the end of the service last night? I couldn't tell you the first word of it this morning. I don't know if he could, but the Lord inspired him to give us a good song at the end of the service last night. Let's enjoy this song this morning. When these CDs become available, Brother Jimmy and the brothers will have them for you in the library, and we'll let you know when that happens. But let's enjoy One Night with the King. I believe it will bless you.
One day in his courts did forever change my course. One moment in his presence and I've never been the same. One night with the King changes everything. One night with the King changes everything. Just one day in his courts could forever change your course. One moment in his presence and you'll never be the same. One night with the King truly changes everything. From the desert to the King, it had been my destiny to be chosen for such a time as this. I didn't know that all my dreams could become realities. Then I saw his face, his love captured me. Just one day in His courts, it will forever change your course. One moment in His presence, just one moment in His presence. Oh, you'll never be the same. One night with the King, it changes. Just one day in His courts, forever changes. One night with the King changes everything. I know it changes forever. His power changes everything.
Amen. You enjoy that? Let's stand this morning, if you will. Time to go on into the service. I know you're looking forward to the preaching of the word of the Lord. And I believe God's going to speak to us again today, don't you? Amen. Let's sing a little chorus as our pastor gets ready to come this morning, bring us the word of the Lord. Amazing grace that saved a wretch like me. It was grace every step of the way, wasn't it? Amen. Amazing grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I was blind, but now
today for His wonderful grace to us. Let's bow our heads together. We'll just approach Him in prayer. Lord Jesus, we so love You today. Father, we want to express our appreciation and our thanksgiving for Your great bountiful grace. We know that there's nothing that we could ever do that would be worthy of such love. But we know that it's something that is unmerited favor that You've given to us. We do not want to be recipients of that grace and not in turn stop and say thank You for it. We pray today as we open up the pages of Your word that You would help us, Father, to be able to hear something that will make us more like You. We haven't come today that we would be conformed to the image of one another or the image of a prophet or some preacher, but that we might be conformed to the image of Christ. For we know that His kingdom must grow within us And as we learn to submit and get ourselves out of the way, the more it can take a greater charge of our lives. So help us today, I pray, Father. We look to you and we know if there will be anything that will be lasting that will come out of this service today, it truly have to be you that does it. So we call upon your name, we submit ourselves and ask you to fulfill that, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. Let's turn again today, if you would, to the book of Daniel, chapter 7, verse 1. I wish to speak to you again today on the Messianic Empire. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. We looked at these beasts last night, and we'll just touch on them for just a few minutes today before we go into the fifth beast or the fifth kingdom, fifth dominion. Each of these kingdoms that Daniel sees in the vision, the dream of Nebuchadnezzar, worked under an anointing or a power which was symbolized by a beast that Daniel sees in this vision. Daniel chapter 7, verse 1. In the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head upon his bed. Then he wrote the dream and told the sum of the matters. Daniel spake and said, I saw in my vision by night, and behold the four winds of the heaven. Notice now, those four winds of the heaven, wars in the Bible, of course, represented by winds. The four winds of the heaven strove upon the great sea, and four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. Now, he doesn't see America, because America isn't there. John sees that in Revelation, but here Daniel sees it from the part of the earth or the part of the world that these kingdoms will issue forth, which is the area of the Mediterranean, of course. The four great beasts came up from the sea, diverse one from another. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I beheld till the wings thereof were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand upon the feet as a man, and a man's heart was given to it. This first, of course, beast represented the anointing or the power that the Babylonian kingdom was going to work under. Verse 5. And behold, another beast, a second like to a bear, and it raised up itself on one side and had three ribs in the mouth of it, between the teeth of it. And they said thus unto it, arise, devour much flesh. And this, of course, was the Medo-Persian kingdom. Verse 6, after this I beheld, and lo, another like a leopard, which had upon the back of it four wings of a fowl. The beast had also four heads, and dominion was given to it. And this was the Grecian Empire, starting out with the fierceness and the fastness of Alexander, and then divided by four generals, which were the heads representing also the four wings that was on its back. And then verse 7, after this I saw in the night visions, and behold a fourth beast, dreadful and terrible, and strong exceedingly, and it had great iron teeth. It devoured and brake in pieces and stamped the residue with the feet of it. And it was diverse from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Of course, this is the Roman Empire. Now for the fifth one. We'll have to leave the book of Daniel and go to the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 5, verse 6. And I beheld, and lo, in the midst of the throne and of the four beasts, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as it had been slain, having 7 horns and 7 eyes, which are the 7 spirits of God, sent forth into all the earth. May the Lord bless his word. You may be seated. This, of course, is the introduction or the initiating in of the greatest, the last, the most perfect, an enduring empire of the world. Unlike Nebuchadnezzar, Belshazzar, Darius the Mede, Alexander the Greek, Pilate, Herodotus, any of the great men who so-called rules and reign in these other empires. This one starts in a much different way. Each one of these beasts that anointed the people, the king, and the people of these other dominions would give to them characteristics from the power that made it. And we know that what spirit we all work under, it will reflect itself by the way we behave. It's very important, even the type of people that we're around, because people carry spirits. And those people will take on the characteristic of that spirit. And then if you get around the wrong type of person, if you're not careful, you'll find yourself acting like them. That's why it's very important who we're friends with, who we fellowship with, all that sort of thing. So God, now to usher in the last empire, the messianic empire, it must also work under an anointing, a power. There must be a representation of that power. Amen. How it will be symbolized. It will go through many changes, and it will curtail or involve a span of many thousands of years. It will come in a very simple, humble way. Now John, of course, in this setting in Revelation chapter 5, John is allowed to come into heaven and see things which none of the rest of the apostles were allowed to see. And John, whenever he sees this, he writes what he sees, and as prophets would do, he would write it in symbol form and then wait for the Spirit of God to bring the interpretation thereof. So John, whenever he moves into paradise, into heaven, and John sees this beast there, it was not actually an animal per se, but it had identifications of a power. So when John sees this, and the elder speaks to John and said, one must come. There's a search going on in heaven. And he said, the Lion of the tribe of Judah has prevailed to open the book and to loose the seven seals. So John then turns, and in the vision, John is caught into the vision, and John, when he turns in the direction, something pulling him in the direction of whence he thinks this power will come forth, this creature. And John expecting to see a lion, but when he turns, he sees a bloody lamb. Now remember, the vision is not set at Calvary. The vision, the setting is not in Pilate's hall. It is not down the Via Dolorosa, the way by which this lamb was led to Calvary. It is not the place of the skull, Golgotha. But the setting is before the throne of God. And here the conqueror, the mighty conqueror, is being displayed before the celebrities of heaven. Amen. And yet he's being displayed in this manner. What kind of kingdom then will it be? What kind of empire? What kind of dominion will it be that the very king of this dominion in the conquered state, this is the way John sees him now, this is the conquered state of the empire. So what will the dominion of this one actually be? Unlike Darius the Mede or Alexander or Nebuchadnezzar or the great leaders of the empires that preceded this, in their conquest and in their victories as they would come through and take the countries and the cities and ride through in a great chariots, and my, the garlands of flowers and the great masses of people would come and welcome them to their cities. But this one here, it is seen in the very epitome of his kingdom is established in such humility. And really, if you can understand it, in the display of such weakness. Now, I guess we could understand it maybe a little better had John seen the Lamb at the cross in this symbol. Had he seen him before Pilate, shaking and quivering and blood all over him, but to see him before the throne of God, to see him, this is after his resurrection. This is not prior to his death, but this is after his ascension. What's this in the breach? Page 97. Brother Bam said John looked at that lamb and the lamb looked like he had been slain. And then he noticed he was wounded and cut and bruised and bleeding. A bloody lamb. Now remember, this is after his resurrection. This is not at Calvary. What in the world is he doing like this? After the resurrection. After he has conquered death, hell, and the grave. Would not it be more fitting for him to be represented in the vision as a mighty conqueror? As one who had now laid aside his garments from Bozrah. Who is this that cometh from Edom with his dyed garments on? Who is this that cometh from Bozrah that says, I have tread the winepress alone? Would not it be more fitting for him to be there in a great robe, a diadem in his hand, a crown upon his head? Not when you know his position. You see at this state in the vision, his work isn't done. Now death is conquered, hell is conquered, the grave is conquered. But you're not saved yet. In this time frame when the vision is happening, I wasn't even born yet. You wasn't born. So for him to be crowned, for him to have the diadem in his hand, it would mean the bride had already been called. And this won't happen until the resurrection. So then what kind of kingdom will this kingdom be if this is the view of the resurrected emperor? If this is the symbol by which the new church will work under, this is its king. He noticed he was wounded and cut and bruised and bleeding. A bloody lamb. That's what took our place. And he said, isn't it strange? A simple lamb had to take our place. And he saw the lamb. He proceeded out. Now notice, John has been carried up. He's seen chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, chapter 4, now chapter 5. And this was his. And now it steps into the vision. He says John hadn't saw him because he had been way back into the eternities, making intercession and showing that those who had come to God under the offering of blood of bulls and goats, a substitutionary offering. The Lamb proceeded out into the vision now. As it had been slain. Notice, come from the Father's throne. Lord Jesus.
Do you understand our conqueror, as of the present time, at 12 minutes to 12 on March 2012, our Lord Jesus has to this day still not received his own throne. For 2,000 years, he has been waiting on the arrival of his own throne. Glory to God. I'm trying to behave this morning and act like a gentleman, but I'm finding it very hard to do. Now watch as the vision unfolds and John sees the celebrity, the cherubims, the elders, the Son of God. And then out of the throne, stepping into the vision, from the throne of God, steps this strange, peculiar-looking conqueror. He says, the Lamb proceeded out into the vision now as it had been slain. Notice how he appears in the vision. As it had been slain. Notice, come from the Father's throne. Oh, think. Where did he advance from to this vision? He come from glory. Amen. Well, wait a minute. Where was the vision at? The vision was in glory. It was in heaven. But notice the Lamb ascends or comes from glory. Another spectrum of glory that John had not yet seen. And it was the glory of intercession. Now, unlike Darius the Mede, unlike Alexander, unlike these other men who lived upon the earth, no one could ever take this place. You can say as many Hail Marys as you want to, and Hail Donnies, and Hail Fred, and Jack, and Betty Lou, and Mary Sue, and all the Hails, whoever you want to, but there ain't nobody can stand in this place but the Lord Jesus. Now the vision unfolds. Now notice he says he had come into the vision from glory. Where was he in glory? Where he seated at the right hand of God, he advanced forth to John out of glory. So if you can imagine it, the throne of God there on this great throne of God, is this light, this presence, that from that throne, you know it's there, coming streaks or streams of imminent glory. It's so brilliant, so bright, that you look at it, but yet you cannot really make out all that's there. So from this throne then, once the call was made, stepping out of the glory, comes this bloody slain lamb with blood all over him. And John was looking right at the throne, right at the glory, but could not see this because the glory had it so enshrouded. So it steps out of the glory to make itself known. So here it comes. Maybe John's seeing a movement. He's caught up in the vision now. And he sees the emanating glory and the brilliance and maybe swirls of light and the, you know, the glory of God from around the throne. And then he sees something in the glory moving. And it becomes a visage of an image that he's seeing more clear. And all of a sudden, it steps out of the brilliance. And out of the glory comes this bloody slain man. And John hadn't seen it before because it was hidden in the glory. Now watch this. He advanced forth to John out of glory. Lord Jesus.
Listen to this. Oh, wouldn't it be a glorious thing if our sinful thoughts tonight could be laid aside long enough to accepting Him? He would advance all the way from glory tonight to make Himself known to anyone. The Lamb advancing from glory for intercessions. All right, he says to make now claims now for His redemption. Every other of these kings that we read about, the power, the beast, the anointing that they worked under, once they achieved what they wanted, then they were able to build a fine castle, a great place. They were able to set their dominion in order. But this kingdom, our King, as I said, to this day, still doesn't have His own throne. Notice again the breach. John said the elder, here comes a lion. He was the one prevailed. And when he looked, here come a lamb, bloody. And remember, the setting is not Calvary, but the setting is the eternities. And the lamb was still there in this condition, bloody, after His resurrection. Why? It symbolized His future work. You see, the earth, nor you, nor I, was ready for a king on a throne with a diadem and a crown. We still needed an intercessor. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Notice this, he said, a lamb bloody that had been slain. Anything that's killed, it's bloody. You know it had been killed. Its neck chopped open or something. The blood all over it. And here come to a lamb that had been slain. Oh, he came forth. My what? To make His claims on His redemption. Now, again he says in page 99. Here he comes forth to take His claims now. Oh my. Comes forth to take His claims now. He had done the kinsman work. He done come down, become man, died. He had done the kinsman work of redemption, but had not as yet called for His claim. And let me just update you in case you're wondering. He still hasn't. The Lamb did not leave the intercessory box in March of 1963. Now lots of brothers, you know, in the message, they've ran and grabbed a few quotes and went over here and there, but instead of following through and studying after the seals was opened and see if the same prophet of God who told us this was even supposed to happen, to see if he himself said it was already over. But instead they grabbed a few quotes and went on and said, well, the Lamb's off the throne, now the bride's the intercessor, and all this bunch of trash and nonsense that they preach. You better hope to God this morning He's still there. I don't mean to hurt your feelings, but I'm terribly disappointed if you're the only intercessor between God and man. When you sorry outfits, you need as much intercession as I do. How in the world could you intercede for me or me intercede from you, and you're as in bad shape as I am, or I'm as in bad shape as you are? We don't need one another so much, Brother Dowell, and sure we can pray for one another and all that, but I need somebody sinless. I need somebody without a spot or a wrinkle. I love you, my friends. I love you, my people. But I'm sorry. I don't have enough confidence in any of you to be my intercessor. I love you, Brother Jim, and we're friends, but I'm sorry, buddy. I just don't have it. I just don't have enough confidence in you, Brother Jim, Babb, to go before the throne of God and hold blood in your hand and say, Father, I've come to represent Donnie. I love Brother Brandon.
him, but I don't have enough confidence in him for him to stand there as my mediator. So if this is the anointing, the power that this fifth dominion or kingdom is going to be set up under, what kind of dominion will it be? Now, it was not like a beast that had part eagle and part lion. It was not like a bear with three ribs in his mouth or a leopard that had wings on the back. But it was a lamb. Kind of makes me wonder about folks in the message who always want to be the judge. They always want to be the judge and tell you you're in and you're out and you're in and you're out. Of course, they always know who's in. That's the ones who go along with them. And they always know who's out, and that's the ones who don't go along with them. Peculiar. Doesn't seem like the same anointing that John saw before the throne of God. Now watch, he says, he'd done the kinsman work of redemption, but he has not yet made his call for his claim. Now he comes on the scene to claim his rights. Watch what takes place, oh my. For which he was slain, as becoming a kinsman to die to man, to die in his place to redeem him. But the elder was right when he said he was a lion. The elder called him and said a lion because he had been a lamb, an intercessor. A bloody lamb, but now he's coming forth as a lion. Not in March of 63, but when this work is done. When you see him, my friends, you'll not see him with blood all over him. You'll not see his neck hacked open. It would not be fitting to go to the marriage supper with blood all over him. It would not be fitting for my bridegroom to be dressed in the garments of Bozerah. Notice now he said his days of intercession is over. Now you can see where brothers, if they don't follow the thought through, they take this quote and say, oh my, it's over, it's over. It was over in the vision. But just not in reality for him yet. Let him that's filthy be filthy still. Let him that's righteous be righteous still. Him that's holy be holy still. The thing is closed. Oh, brother, then what? Not now what? Then what? Then what? And remember, it comes in the seventh church age when the mysteries of God will be opened up. Now, there's seven horns on this lamb. Did you notice it? Having seven horns. We just been through that. Horns means power. So when John looks and he sees this lamb, the lamb is going to do part of his intercessory work before the eternities and the throne of God. But the horns will be on the earth. Now remember, Daniel's fourth beast had 10 horns and then an 11th horn raised up and broke off three of the former. But this lamb's horns were his people. They were his power. Oh, glory. Horn means power to the animal. Now notice he was not an animal, because he took the book out of the right hand that sat upon the throne. Now watch, when he comes out the seven horns, when he saw this lamb, John looking at it, it had looked like it had been slain. Bloody. He'd come from eternity and he'd ceased to be a mediator. Then pray to Mary as much as you want to. Now for us as the people of God to dispensationally place Jesus on his own throne as the king before he himself places himself there, we're dislocating his body. To place the mercy seat in a preacher or in the bride alone. Come on now, church, don't get quiet. Amen. To place it that the rapture is over, the resurrection is over, is to dislocate his body.
which according to Christ and His own word were forbidden to do. So my desire is to identify on the earth and be wherever He is synchronized in heaven. So if He's on the throne of God in the eternities, still pleading for our ignorance and maybe 1 or 2 or 10,000 who's not been saved, that's where I want to put Him.
Amen.
If He stepped out from there and it's all over, then I want to put Him there. You understand? Because the empire will be affected by the attributes of the emperor. So if mercy is over, there should be a parallel or a synchronization from heaven to the bride to the burden of you praying for your children will be lifted. No need for you to pray. Why the Spirit of God burden you to pray for your children if there's no mercy for them? Don't make no sense. Then the Holy Ghost and you's a deceiver. The Holy Ghost up there's done cut it all off and there's no mercy for them. And the Holy Ghost in you is burdening you for your loved ones and your lost friends. There should be a synchronization from eternity down into time. Now watch. He steps into the vision from the eternity. And John is now going to watch as the Lamb in the future will take the book and call for His claims. Watch this in page 101. What did He do now? He's been back there interceding. Notice how long. Until His blood has atoned for every person. And the Lamb now knows what's written in the book. So He knew from the foundation of the world, their names were in there, and He stood back here and done mediator work until, notice, until everyone that's been put in the book has been redeemed. Not until 1963. Oh, but Brother Donnie, I've got the Holy Ghost now, and I've got the mercy seat in my heart. I understand all that spiritually. So how does Jesus in you go out there and save somebody? Are you the one who convicts them? So the Holy Ghost comes out of you and convicts somebody's heart, and then the Holy, come on friends, let's just stay with what He said. But notice those who do that, they become merciless. They'll cut you off like that. Why? They've dislocated the body. They dislocated the body. They changed the characteristics of the emperor of the kingdom. They now have Him a judge. They now have Him a lion. They now have Him as a conqueror. So that leaves you and I no mercy whatsoever. Now notice how long will He be there? He says, till everyone that's been put in the book has been redeemed and is finished. And now He walks out. You know what the kinsman work was? To testify before the elders. So here is the conqueror that goes into heaven and takes His blood and He sprinkles all the things in heaven that need to be sprinkled with the blood of remission. Where He tells Mary, don't touch me. I've not yet ascended to my God and your God. So He goes up and He sprinkles the things essential in heaven. Then He comes back down and then He tells them, touch me, handle me. For the high priest was not allowed to be touched by ordinary people before going in to sprinkle the blood on the mercy seat. Glory to God. But once now He goes and He sprinkles His blood on the mercy seat, then He comes back. Then when He ascended up, what's Jesus been doing for 2,000 years? Can't you see His whole office work for the last 2,000 years? Has been concerning His church. He's been like a man that's been engaged and actually come back and had a secret wedding with the bride. And hardly nobody knows anything about it except him and the bride. And the celebrity. Then he come down and made himself known and got married to the bride through the revealing of the word. And then he slipped back up into the eternities there and he's been doing the mediatorial work. And then over here on the other side, he says, a man that is just going around him and working and creating and busying himself, preparing your new home. And like Darius the Mede that once he conquered, that sat around and drank wine and ate grapes. And you go here, you do this, you do that. Alexander the Great, you do this, you do that. You go somewhere, you do this, you do that. Ptolemy of Egypt and all the rest of these conquerors. For 2,000 years, he has busied himself with his church. So he's full-time priest, full-time contractor, full-time creator, full-time lover to the bride. I mean, he's full-time, isn't he? Oh, glory to God. He's our priest. He's our mediator. He's creating a city for us. And while all at the same time, tens of millions of prayers have come up through the blood. And it must be his voice rendered when you pray. How in the world is he doing all this? So he's got to pray for every child of God, every son and daughter of God. He's got to intercede. He's making gates of pearl, streets of gold. So instead of this emperor, say, now that I've conquered and I've saved you bunch of slaves, you bunch of dirt bags, you're good for nothing, you're fit for nothing, grovel at my feet. Instead of that, this emperor entered into his body and went back into the eternities and hid himself in the glory. There interceded for Paul, interceded for Peter, interceded for the thousands in Irenaeus day, and Luther's day, and Wesley's day, and Pentecost day, and our day. Don't you see? He cannot rest until you are finished. What kind of king is this? What kind of a being is this that would busy himself on our behalf? Notice this, he says, he's been back here interceding until his blood has atoned for every person. The Lamb now knows what's written in the book. He knows before the foundation of the world, and he stood back there and been done mediatorial work. Notice this. Till everyone that's put in the book. Not till 1963. Not till 1977. But until everyone that's put in the book has been redeemed. And it's finished. And now he walks out. You know what the kinsman work was to testify before the elders. You remember Boaz kicking off his shoe. He's done all this now. Now he comes to take his bride. Amen. Glory. He comes now as king. Glory. This emperor's view shows what his interest has been for 2,000 years. He comes now as king. He's not looking for a throne, a crown, a diadem. But what's his main interest? Oh, glory to God. The Queen. The Queen. Don't you understand? He cannot be crowned king until the queen does it. Remember when the devil came to St. Martin and he told him, he said, Martin, don't you know me? He said, I'm your Lord and Savior. Fall down and worship me. Martin looked at him and looked at him in this visitation. And he said, Satan, I rebuke you. Because this one had a crown on his head. And Martin was scriptural enough to know, we ain't going to crown Brother Branham. We're not crowning Donnie Reagan or some other preacher. But Martin said, the saints will crown him king. Can you imagine when the last name in the Lamb's Book of Life sets a little black boy way down in the Congo or wherever it is, a little Chinese boy or girl, a little Japanese boy or girl, and their name is splashed in the pool of the bleach and their nature is totally annihilated and the Lamb finishes that individual, then the book is closed. Then he steps out from the glories of the throne of God. And when he steps off the Father's throne as mediator, he's stepping out now as what? The Lion of the tribe of Judah. What's he looking for? His lioness. Glory to God! He steps out from there not as mediator, but as king. You imagine how many battles Nebuchadnezzar fought. How many battles did Darius the Mede fight while his wife was back in the safety of Rome? How many battles did Alexander the Great fight, risk his life? How many spears come whizzing by his head? How many arrows missed him by inches while his wife was in the safety of her home? I feel like shouting. But can you imagine when Alexander comes into Mesopotamia? When Alexander comes into Alexandria? Glory! When he comes into Egypt, when he comes into all these places, and who comes with him? His queen. It ain't the generals. It ain't the cooks. It ain't the chefs. And he couldn't have made it without them. But who walks with him up the great colonnades and the great white steps? And here comes Alexander. Here comes Darius the Mede. Here comes Nebuchadnezzar. And who's with him? His wife who stood out there flung arrows. Here, Nebuchadnezzar, here's another bow. Here's another bow. She ain't out there fighting. She's back there being doted on. Your Royal Highness. You need a blessing? Drop her a handful on purpose. Give her a little bit of water. Give her a little bit of bread. Give her a little bit of heat. Spank her when she needs it. Love her when she needs it. Do you understand? You're being pampered while the mighty conquerors fight your battles. Can you imagine? As Alexander takes his wife's hand. Here he goes up the steps. The great, beautiful, white marble steps. As he comes into Greece. This beautiful queen with her long train and her gems and all of that on her. She hadn't killed one Mede. She hadn't killed one Persian. He was a conqueror. But she was more than a conqueror. Think of it, friend. Oh, my, oh, I've got it so hard, so hard. Do you? In reality, what mortal living in this age don't have hard things to deal with? But you've got the mighty conqueror living in you to help you. They don't have. They don't have. You're in the covert of his wings. He fights your battles. He encourages you when you're down. He lifts you up when you're weary. He intercedes for you when you don't even deserve it. He takes up for you when you're wrong. What is an intercessor? What is a mediator? One who goes between. Jesus don't speak lies for you, but he takes up for you in your time of weakness. And when you've done wrong, he bears your reproach upon himself. Because you are so dear to his heart, he cannot think of living without you. So for 2,000 years, he's been mediating, pleading, praying, bloody, hacked to pieces. Still the imagery of the sacrificial lamb. In the first church age, there was millions of names not yet redeemed. Then he started calling. A few thousand here. A few thousand. Second church age, thousands more. Third church age, the book's getting smaller and smaller and smaller. 5,000 was redeemed. 10,000 was redeemed, sealed away. 100,000, 500,000, 3 million, 10 million. And by the time that John sees him at the end, he's got a little book in his hand. Oh, glory to God. Oh, Lord Jesus. He comes to take his bride. He comes now as king. Amen. And he's looking for his queen. And I guarantee you one thing. He knows where to look. When the rapture comes, you won't find Jesus showing up down at our Immaculate Lady of Conception. Your phone won't find Jesus on rapture morning going down to the First Baptist. He knows better than to look in there. There won't be none left in there. They've all come out of her, my people. They've already left that mess. In this book is the whole secret of it. Wrapped around seven seals. Oh, brother. Seven seals. Waiting for him to come. Seven horns. Listen, seven churches. The seven church ages, because that was the lamb's protection. Notice, not the lion's protection. Through seven church ages, the church on the earth protected this innocent lamb. What he protected his rights with on earth was a God-sent group. Not prophets. Not preachers. A God-sent group of people that's protected. You see, it's mutual. He's protecting you. You're protecting him. Unlike Samson, who laid his head in the lap of Delilah, Jesus in the Song of Solomon laid his head in the lap of his bride. And she won't cut his curls because she don't believe in bobbed hair. Can you imagine the bridegroom in every age as he laid his head over in the lap of his bride? His bride becomes his spokesman and said, I charge you, daughters of Jerusalem, that you stir not up nor awake my love till he please. She became his voice. She became his protector. Jesus could lay his head on the lap of his bride. When she would take her fingers and run it through his hair, caress his forehead. Go to sleep. Go to sleep. Go to sleep,
my lover. I'm your bride. I'm your queen. You are my everything. I'll protect you, my headship, for you're everything to me. You're the only one I live for. Soon will be in eternity. Go to sleep. Go to sleep.
Can't you see why he can't lay his head in the lap of denominations? They cut him up into three and that's three gods out of him.
But he lays down in the lap of his bride one God. And when he stirs himself, he's still one God. Oh, glory to God.
He lays down in the lap of his bride, his deity. And he doesn't wake up a second person. He wakes up the same person. What kind of conqueror is this that would conquer the known and unknown world? Alexander could not go down to the gates of the abyss and knock on Satan's door and say, I've come for the keys.
And he would raise and tell his bride, oh, glory. I am he that was dead. Now I'm alive. Forevermore. And I went down to hell and death. And I got the keys. Now you don't have to fear.
So then he gives his gospel to the bride, the elect of every age.
And tells her, now you protect this.
Protect it. Don't take it to a castle down in the secret chamber. Dig it down on the earth and then go a tunnel that way and one this way and one that way to confuse everybody and hurry it in and bury it with dirt and rocks and sand and cover it. But take it into your heart. Protect it.
And some of you, they will lead to the Colosseum. The blood will pour out of your bodies. They will take wood and put you on it. And they'll take kindling and put a fire around you. Your feet will catch on fire first, then your legs, while your body is screaming in agonizing pain. But because you are my protector, I know I can trust you. You will not recant in the midst of the flames. I ask you, for what we believe today, could you have went to the Colosseum and let them tie you to a cross and let them light wood under your feet and let the flames go to leaping up your legs, Brother Jim, to your flesh melted and rolled off in the fire while you were still alive? I'll answer that question for you. If your name is on the Lamb's book, yes, you would. But if you were just in the message and around the message, you would have recanted. Do you realize there were many people that got to the stake and with their last breath, they recanted. Live that far and come right up to the end of the way, just a few breaths away and say, ah, recant. You say, how could they do it? Same way you're doing it now. The lights of the city are in view. We're closer than we've ever been. And people's turning away. People saying, I can't make it no farther. I can't go no farther. You're going to recant on the last few seconds? So here John sees him step into the vision. And he sees the bride on his head. You don't remember it, but you were there in the vision. Lord God, notice he says, the horns on the lamb, seven eyes of the seven messengers. So here he sees seven horns on this lamb's head, and he sees an eye in every horn. So he says the seven eyes are the seven messengers of the seven church ages. Seven eyes, seven seers. The seven eyes, eyes mean seeing. Seeing means prophets. And the lamb had seven horns, and on each horn an eye. What is it? Christ. So you mean you advanced into the vision. Lord Jesus. Unlike Darius the Mede, unlike the leopard, unlike the bear, it represented kings, not queens. But when John sees this one, the bride is so much his heart that he allows her to be reckoned with him in the vision. That when he steps out from the streams of the glory of God, and John looks at him as a lamb hacked to pieces and blood all over him, and then John sees seven horns on this lamb's head, which a normal lamb don't have. And then John looks a little closer. He says, what a peculiar sight. An eye and every horn. So here walked Jesus out from the eternities. And there you were with him. In the vision. What was it? Christ and his bride. Seven church ages. Out of their seven prophets, seven seers' eyes. Now notice as the services move on in the seals. From the breach over to the third seal. Now for all these years, Christ has been doing the kinsman redeemer work. Not the king work. Lord, children. Can't you see? The church has been his interest for all of this time. This is why the Messianic Empire is so different than anything that has ever lived. This is why a real son of God who has a real daughter of God for a wife treats her in a very peculiar way in the eyes of the world. Even the eyes of some message people. Because he loves her. He loves her. He's not worried about, well, if I do five things for her, will she do five things back? That's not the way he loves. He loves unselfishly. Now notice how Brother Ben terms this. For all these years, Christ has been doing the kinsman redeemer work. Now all that understands that, say, amen. He's been doing the work of the kinsman redeemer. But listen how he phrases this. But there will come a time. Now remember, this is the third seal. The Lamb has already took the first and second seal and broke it. And yet he's speaking in a future tense. There will come a time when the redeeming work will be over. Surely the man who preached it would know whether it is then or not. And when the redeeming work is over, then he leaves. Notice the throne of God, where he's seated now. But that's not, read it. So here's the mighty conqueror, and for 2,000 years he's never even got to sit down on his own throne yet. Why? Because you need him. We need him, Brother Jack. We need him on the Father's throne. Why? To keep the wrath of God at bay. To keep the wrath of God, Brother Dale, off of us. What kind of conqueror is this that bore our shame, our humiliation. And even after he leaves and ascends, still to this very moment, has never got to sit down in his own throne. And let the angels of God fall down and worship him as the great God that he is. To sit there with his arms on the wrist and the diadem in his hand, crowned with many crowns, his robe wrapped around him. And that throne has been empty for all these years. But sir, it won't be empty much longer. So he's been on the Father's throne, pleading, interceding for our ignorance, our stupidity, our iniquities, things that we know is wrong and we do it anyhow. Don't you sit there and look at me like a bunch of angels. Like Darius, which would have your head cut off. Unlike Alexander, which would have you beheaded. This one thinks different. He don't think like, well, I've got millions in the bride. What if I lose 5,000? What's 5,000? He can't lose one. If he was a billionaire and lost $5 on the parking lot at Walmart, would that really matter to you? What's five if you're a billionaire? But what if you're God? And every one of them attributes of your children is word. And if you lost one word. When Jesus said not one jot, not one tittle, just the punctuation. Glory to God. If I ain't nothing but a period, I don't care if I'm not a word. If I can be a jot or a tittle, he won't leave me behind. They found a place to stop. But there will come a time when the redeeming work will be over. So when the last one whose name is on the Lamb's Book of Life has been interceded for and their name has been dipped in the bleach, then he comes from the Father's throne, proceeds out of the eternities, and he steps out into the vision. You see the image very faint and vague. Then you see feet moving, coming closer and closer. And you see right soon, he's changed clothes. Looks like he's got a mane. Glory! I said, looks like he's got a mane. And he's not mad. But he's roaring. Oh. What's he roaring for? His lioness. He that overcometh shall sit and make me on my throne as I have overcome and sat down on my Father's throne. That is not his throne. That belongs to Spirit, God, Christ, the Lamb. It doesn't belong to him. He's the incarnate God, which is the same God made incarnate. I never noticed that before. Why? He had been back in there doing his mediatorial work. For he was bleeding for the people, intercessing for the people, until I preached the seventh seal on Sunday night. When are you ever going to get it through your thick head? The program is not based upon Brother Branham. This program is not based upon Happy Valley. It's not based just upon you.
It's based upon the individuals whose names are in that book. It's not just based upon us Americans, not based upon the rich. None of us can go anywhere until that last soul.
I love the way he says that. That last soul. Not last body. That last soul that was put on the Lamb's Book of Life before the foundation of the world. Come in. There's just going to be so many of them. Now that's it. That's all. The others won't even want to come in. They'll have no desire. So when that last soul. I'm going to tell you this morning when Jesus is going to come. Oh, Brother Donnie. Oh, no. You're not setting a date. No date. No time. I'm not even going to give you the decade. But I'm going to tell you when it's going to be. When the last soul. You know why I know he didn't leave the mercy seat in 1963? I was just a boy. I had not come to that spot yet. Many of you wasn't even saved. You wasn't even living for God. Somebody wrote me a question not long ago on email and said, how do you know the bride ain't already gone? Well, I wanted to be nice, but I thought about telling them because I'm still here. That's the only reason I know, because I'm still here. Well, you're pretty confident. I'm confident in the work of my Redeemer. So when the last soul comes in, then the time of redemption is finished. Then the Lamb comes forth to claim His rights to what He has redeemed. And that's all creation. The earth and everything belongs to Him. See, He's redeemed it with His own blood. And now we found out that slain Lamb is a bloody Lamb, bleeding all over, slain. That you've been slain, raised again, sitting on the throne of God, back behind the throne like this, interceding for all those souls that would come. Then when the last one was here, and it was completed. You said, ain't just when that little black African boy gets saved, or that little Chinese girl gets saved, but it's when she's done. When she's accumulated the necessary revelation for a body change. How you gonna take a rapture without a rapture message? So when she's moved up enough in the Word to be able to receive rapturing faith, she's finished. Lord have mercy, God. Then when the last one was here, and was completed. God still held the book of redemption. See now. He's doing the kinsman work now. Like Boaz went down and Ruth was just sitting there waiting. Waiting. Boaz, the kinsman, redeeming work. The messianic empire. What kind of a ruler will he be? He's still waiting for his own throne. You imagine Alexander having to wait for 10 years after he conquered the known world to sit down on the throne? Can you imagine what an achievement and accomplishment was for those men? Maybe the first time they did it, Brother Dave, when they'd go in and conquer Nebuchadnezzar's great city of Babylon. Maybe they'd clear the throne room and walk in and sit down. Everybody leave me. Leave! Oh, you guards, leave! Walk in and sit down on the throne of Nebuchadnezzar.
the seat set of men who rule the world. Can I sit here? His fingers rolled over these lions' paws right where mine are. Can you imagine before Jesus ever sits down? Angels, is this room ready? Yes, my Lord. I'll be back shortly. You imagine the angels as they look at one another. He's going to get her. He's going to get her. Lord, children, can we imagine how he's longed for this? But he cannot take it until you're ready. Can you imagine when we come up and the prophet said, we will crown him my king? To this day has never had a proper crown placed on his head. You imagine when we walk in, his long beautiful robes, and he whirls around the grandeur and the splendor, and we fall before him. And we cast our crowns down at his feet. And he says, now my bride, I can take my place. And we come up by the millions. And some notable ones take the crown of the saints. We all stand there breathless. And it's set upon his head. And he turns. And he looks at us. You are my victory. The reason I can sit here today and wear this crown,
hallelujah,
it's because you protected
glory,
my rights.
Glory.
You were laughed at by your family, made fun of and ridiculed, but you protected my rights on earth. Come, children. Come. Enter the joys of the Lord that was prepared for you before the foundation of the world. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, I know sometimes our desire for the rapture is selfish, really. And if we're not careful, we'll want you to come simply because we're tired of fighting hell. We can't keep from desiring such a glorious, wonderful thing. But may we not be motivated by selfish motives. May we want the coming of the Lord, the rapture, the change, not because we're tired of fighting. How many young girls get tired of living at home, so they think they'll get married to get out from daddy and mama and brothers and sisters. And they only get into worse bondage by marrying someone that they didn't pray over. Lord, we don't want to leave this world just because we're tired of it. We want to leave this world based upon the same motives as you when the last soul has been redeemed. Help us that we'll not just think about us when we think about the rapture. I'm sick. I want to leave this world. I wish Jesus to come. I want to get out of here. May we listen to ourselves and see how selfish we're making the rapture. But help us, Lord, that our motives will be polished to match yours. That when the last one gets come in, brought in, and is finished, then we want to go home.
For we were called for this purpose. From the desert to the king. It became my destiny. Before the foundation of the world, we were born to serve this great purpose. There's one here today, Lord, whose name is on the book, and yet their name has never been splashed in that tub of bleach. May today be the day. Or maybe, Lord, they've started, but they've never come to the consummation of the new birth, to where the life of the emperor enters into them. Lord, help them. For those that are sick, weak, feeble, I pray for them. We don't know the day nor the hour, nor is it really any of our business. You just tell us to be ready. But until that time comes, I'm going to ask for your mercy, your love, your forgiveness. I'm going to pray for my loved ones, people who backslid away from the church. I'm going to pray and hope that they can come back. Because I don't know when it's going to be cut off. Help us, Lord. We love you, Jesus. I don't long for the rapture, my Lord, just so I can leave this world. But one of my reasons that I long to be changed is so you can get your due position. In my heart, I have crowned you my king. But your throne is still vacant. I want to see you get what's yours. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord. Can we raise our hands this morning in the presence of God? Let's just make love to Him, children. It's hard for us to imagine a conqueror behaving in such a way that even going to heaven, He refused to take His throne because you're not ready. What conqueror would sit on his father's throne for 2,000 years because his bride is not fully redeemed? There has never been an emperor like this. A king, a ruler, a prince. Never been one who so loved his subjects. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord God. We worship you, Lord Jesus. Praise your name, Lord. Let's just close our eyes, saints. These hands that for some of you used to hold cigars. For some of you, maybe you used to hold a needle. Your hand shaking and trembling. Trying to find the vein to shoot the heroin in. Till you could reach another high. You were shaking and quivering while you put the marijuana in the little papers you rolled up to smoke a little cigarette. Or the crack and snorted it or whatever you did. Or whiskey, beer. But now you've been washed. You've been loosed. And those hands can be raised up in the presence of the Lord Jesus, who today is our King. O thou King of saints. You may not get your proper due, Lord, in the eyes of the world, but you're our King. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. We worship you today, our King. Thou art worthy, for thou hast redeemed us to God. By thy blood out of every kindred and tongue and people and nation, and has made us kings and priests unto our God, and we shall reign upon the earth. Oh Jesus, we count it such an honor to be a part of the Messianic Empire. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One night with the King changes every scene. One day in His
change my course. One moment in His presence, oh, I've never been the same. One night with the King changes everything. Let's sing it together now. Oh, glory. Oh, one night with the King changes everything. Just one day in His courts. Oh, don't you remember? It did forever change your course. Go in the fear of God, sing as you go. One night with the King.